What's up, YouTube?
I'm putting weird position for you to start.
I was trying to put the lid back on a bottle. I was just thinking, how, because it takes like half a second to put the lid on a bottle, and I thought it'd be fine. So I 15 seconds to go, I started trying to put the bottle back on, the lid back on, and it wouldn't go on. Hello, everybody. Hello, Spotify. Hello, Apple Podcasts. My name is Alex. I'm Reef Duck, and with me, as always, is Ryan from the UK's number one coral setting website, prestigereef.co.uk. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, yeah. It's been, hang on.
My screen, it's been 2 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks, yeah. Long time.
Yeah, you've been on a holiday, haven't you?
Yeah, weird holiday. Went to Iceland, though. So it was not sunny and beaches everywhere and hot. It was dark and freezing cold, like minus 18, like Canada.
What made you go there?
Because it was actually really cool.
It doesn't seem like the sort of place that would appeal to me, but that's because I like, you know, sunny and hot and beaches.
So it was my wife's 40th birthday in December, and so this was my present to her.
Don't tell people that.
I know, yeah. No, it's 21st birthday it was, and so this was her.
I wonder if that's worse.
And she wanted to go, but it was really cool. It was totally different. First thing I should say, the snorkeling was shit. They should be embarrassed. No scuba diving anywhere. I didn't see any, you know, corals.
No, was that actually snorkeling? Oh, I was going to say, I assume you're joking, but then I was like, was he?
No, there are volcanoes and waterfalls. It's cool, really cool place.
Yeah.
But just totally different to any holiday I've ever been on, because it's just, there's just snow everywhere, literally everywhere. You can't move for snow everywhere. Roads are icy.
How deep was the snow? Was it like up to your knees?
Deep as you like. So like just when you step out the hotel, 6 inches of snow. But when you drive around, like as much snow as you want. But yeah, it was cool.
I remember that. It was like that in America. It was for us who gets hardly any snow ever, like it was like crazy some of the places. When I went out into like the wilderness in Michigan, it was like really, really deep.
Yeah, but
it was like waist deep in some places. So it was quite an experience for us who we don't get a lot of snow here, do we?
Normally it snows most years, I'd say, but it doesn't settle for long, and when it does, it's a few inches, and but there you go. So that was that was my week. And what about you? You were, what did you do? Did you just sit like rocking back and forwards and crying on Sunday night?
Last Sunday, actually, no, what I did is I booked in consultations.
So
I
booked
consultations in. I think I had three of them. Just because I needed to fill a void, you know, in me. I had to sit here and talk to people, and I was just like, Alex isn't here, so someone talk to me, please.
Well, I was thinking of doing it. It was only when I landed like 3 hours before the stream started, or it was going to start or something. I just thought I'd made a thumbnail.
Yeah. So it was too late by then. I was already fully booked, and I went there. The consultations were booked just before the stream, just in case. So I was ready as well.
But yeah, I was too tired. So, and it sounds like you would have been as well.
I would have been knackered.
But you had consultations, so.
Correct.
You also filmed yourself dancing at the farm.
Oh, that is true. I wonder what that was, because obviously that didn't come up. I didn't film myself. So I will be completely honest with you. That wasn't staged. Don't give me that look. It's not unusual for me to be in there, like with headphones on, enjoying myself, because like cleaning the glass is well boring. Les asked no, why are you doing this to me?
It's on your Instagram.
So I know, but it was Les asked what I was listening to, and then he put, was it Taylor Swift? And the chances are it might have been. Because I just have Amazon Music on, so whatever plays.
Is that your taste in music?
I don't have a taste in music, if I'm honest. I literally don't. Like I've never had an iPhone, not an iPhone, I've never had an iPod or a cassette player or a CD player. Never in my entire life have I ever like chosen to listen to music that's not on the radio.
Bloody hell.
This is
worse than your movie.
Everyone thinks it's really weird that I have just never had any interest in music. As I said, I will listen to it, but if anyone says to me, what's your type? I just go, whatever's on the radio. And I'll listen to any radio station as well.
I'll lend you a Led Zeppelin album and it will rock.
Well, I don't know. But yeah, as I said, there's a lot of Taylor Swift playing at the moment. I think she's very popular at the moment. So
something to do with the Super Bowl. Because actually, I think the was it the Super Bowl last weekend on the Sunday?
Or
was
I think she's her boyfriend, some person in it or something.
Yeah, he's a player, I think. I saw stuff on it. I don't know anything about Taylor Swift or...
Well, I know her whole life story. So I'm just joking.
But no, she was... It was really popular because of... Anyway, this isn't about Taylor Swift, so...
Yeah, but if she's listening... You know.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Hi, Taylor. Taylor, can you give me $1 million in the super chat? Thanks very much. But yeah, so you were dancing. What else were you doing?
So I was actually cleaning it then. I had a interesting week, if I'm honest. So about 2 weeks ago, there was a there was a power cut that happened at 1 a.m. I know it was at 1 a.m. because I got a notification from the Red Sea, their reef thing.
Yeah,
it's the app.
The app, yeah.
Saying it's disconnected. But obviously, my phone's on silent at night. So it's great having these notifications. But if you're asleep in the middle of the night, that would have been the worst possible time. Because I go to bed at like midnight usually. So if it happened an hour earlier, I could have dealt with it. Because it was something had tripped on the fuse board. It wasn't like a power cut that lasted hours. I literally just had to flip a switch.
Yeah.
And I turned it on, and then it's never gone off again. So I don't even know what caused it. But I know it was for 7 hours because, like, I obviously happened at one, and then I found it when I woke up.
Have you got battery backups on your MP40s?
Yes. Yeah. So the MP40s have battery backups, but not the Vectras.
What about in your water box? Although it didn't affect your water box because that's on a different circuit.
No, the whole house. So the whole house went out.
Oh, really?
So it didn't really matter that I had notifications on because I had to turn the light on and I realized that there was no power in the house.
So was your water? Do you have battery backups on your water box?
Again, only on the MP40s.
Yeah.
It's to keep the flow going, basically. Mm-hmm. The temperature dropped, I think, 1 degree. That shows you how insulated it is in the farm. It literally hardly dropped at all. And there wasn't any noticeable effect that I noticed. All the corals seemed to be fine. The only thing that did happen was, so one system will restart automatically and one system won't restart automatically. So when the power came back on, the Vectras don't come on the second system. And so the temperature probe was in the water sensing 24 degrees because it dropped in it. But the heaters are in the sump compartment at the top, which is again separate from the rest of the tank. And when I went to the room, I was like, "Why does it smell funny in here?" And it was, and basically, it heated up just that 100 liters or 50 liters or whatever it is, and it had turned it into basically a soup. So what I did is I just drained that down, filled up with fresh water, and then turned the power back on. So I essentially just did a water change, and everything was fine.
When you say fresh water, you mean fresh salt water,
clean water? Yeah,
yeah. New salt
water. It was lucky that I caught that. But let's put it this way. It was impossible not to catch it because the smell. I was looking at it going, why is there something must be not okay?
Yeah.
And then I look at all the corals going, well, they're all fine. That was when I realized that it was obviously the heating. It was where the heaters were. So that was that. That was a fun thing to wake up to. And I'm pretty sure that was literally 2 weeks ago. Because it was just after the live stream.
Right. Okay.
Our last live stream.
Yeah. This is your fortnight in reefing. You're welcome, Julie, by the way. This is your fortnight in reefing.
Yeah.
So,
yes. So what else? I don't know. I should have been writing it down. Right. So the water box.
Items have come back because...
Don't say that because that hasn't happened. I can't remember when we last spoke, if I had taken the cardboard off yet. I don't think I had, on the live stream. So I took the cardboard off. So it's no longer blacked out. And then I left it for a week with no light at all, which I actually quite liked it. I don't know why. I just quite liked having slightly dimly lit fish. They just had
I've only seen this photo for the first time. Because I was going to say, you posted a photo bragging about how you haven't got any diatoms. And it was this photo. I was like,
yeah.
That's a fish.
Look in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Look in the background.
Well, you saw it before, didn't you?
Yeah, I know. But show, like, if you're going to be saying, hey, look, I haven't got any diatoms.
I didn't brag I didn't have any diatoms. I was just very kindly explaining to all the people that told me I was an idiot, they were wrong.
Okay, so this is not bragging. I know this is going to be awkward for all the people that were telling me the blackout won't work. And that's not bragging, okay. No. That's like a 10-page essay on
how
clever you are.
Well, No. It was more important to me that to explain to people that is... And I think at the end I said, don't listen to people online, including me, is what I said, I think.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a brag. It was literally to go, look, I had probably 5 or 10 different people tell me all different things to do and that I was wrong. Yeah. And then I did what I wanted to do anyway, because I had faith in my own knowledge, and it appears to have worked.
Indeed. And that's a really good, because you'll get that anywhere you go, whether you're looking for advice on a forum, a Facebook group, YouTube, wherever, you will get 10 people saying 10 different things.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to process what people say and actually work out yourself, because you know your tank better than anyone else.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to work things out yourself. And that's really difficult. But when you know what you're doing, it's easier.
I remember what I wrote in that post now. So I had people saying to me, increase your nutrients, but having no idea what my nutrient levels were. Yeah. I had people saying to me, put a UV sterilizer on, having no idea I have a UV sterilizer. Do you see what I mean? So
your flow despite not knowing what your flow were. Only one blues despite not knowing what your spectrum was.
Exactly. So it was more about, like, in an ideal world, I don't know if this is the right thing to say or not. I might get myself in trouble, especially considering I'm one of these people. In an ideal world, like, the people that should be responding to these comments or asking for help should be the people that genuinely, like, really know. Like, now, how do you ever know if you really, really, really know, if you see what I mean?
The thing is, that those people have got nothing to prove, so they don't try to chime in. Whereas if you, it's often the case, this is just everything in life, which is always the same with beekeeping. If you've got something to prove, if you feel like you need to, you're more likely to be louder, especially if you've got like a tiny bit of knowledge and you're like, oh, I know this, I've read it online or I watched the video.
So it wasn't meant to come across as a brag. And if it did, then that wasn't my intention at all. It was basically a warning for people to go, don't mess with me. No. It was a warning to go, to basically say, look, like, these were all the things that people said to me and I didn't do it and it worked anyway. So there's multiple ways of doing it and be careful who you listen to. Yeah. And that was all it was.
Yeah. You just got to filter out the information. And this is presumably a natural light. I can see that the lights aren't on, so...
Yes, so I have now progressed from that stage. I know. That's actually probably sellotape.
No, that looks like salt to me.
I mean, it could be, but
you're lazy Instagrammer.
My kitchen looks clean in that reflection, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I just realised that. I got to make sure everything's clean before I. I should probably start with the tank. In the background there, I can see a bottle of Red Sea's magnesium. So just so everyone knows, it's not sponsored.
I just liked your photo.
Nice. So since then it's progressed, where I now have one light on. I have the light on at the very end, because then half the light's off. It doesn't quite spill out, you know what I mean? If I picked one of the middle ones, it would have maximized the amount of light. And the reason I've done that is because I just very slowly seeing how things adapt to it. For the first time, I'm actually starting to see the tank, like the tanks peck on the rocks, which is what I'm hoping, because I want algae to grow algae will outcompete the other things. And it's never had any algae in that tank. And I'm not sure why, because it's had coral in it, which means and plugs and stuff like that. So I could transfer algae over that way. And it's got nutrients in it high enough to grow algae. So I'm not entirely sure why it hasn't. But either way, I'm doing it slowly. I put some copepods in as well.
Oh, cool.
I did that when it was dark still. And I'm limiting the amount of energy it's getting to see what happens. And today, for the first time, the rock has changed color again. So it's no longer white. So what that is at the moment, I don't know, and I probably won't know for a few days. It could be diatoms again. It could be dinoflagellates. It could be algae. It could, like, so I don't know.
Okay. Interesting. But it seems to have, it's done the job for now. It's too early to say conclusively, you know, come back in 3 months' time, basically. But it looks like it certainly cleared it.
Yeah, it absolutely like wiped it out. It was unbelievable. And it did it so quickly. So, and the fact that it's done that is also great because it reestablishes balance. It's now, everything's got a fair shot to succeed. And if they succeed again, I'm just going to have a diatom tank.
Yeah, diatom dominated tank.
I'm just like, you deserve it because I've tried to kill you and you're back anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. Cool. Very good. I was trying to find a before photo that showed the diatoms because they were really bad.
I don't think there ever was a before photo. I think it's in a video, but I don't think there was a before.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Yeah, it was really bad though. It was, and that's because a couple of people commented like saying, "Oh, look, diatoms are just part of the natural process." Yeah. But I think if you'd have shown a photo of how the extent of the diatoms, people would have been like, "All right, yeah, that's not normal."
it's like saying that grass is part of a garden, but you know the grass is like three feet high.
Yeah, exactly. Fair enough. And there's one last thing I want to ask you about.
Yeah.
What's this about?
What's this? I went to London Aquarium.
Coral King.
So, you know what it's about already. So why are you asking?
Oh, do I? Oh, God.
I went to London Aquarium with a lady, a friend. And I just thought, what did I think? So, okay, this is the truth. She nicknamed me Coral King when she found out what I did. And then when we saw that sign, we were like, this is a good photo opportunity. There you go.
So, you are the Coral King. Fact.
Yes. But I had a good day. I actually had a really good time in London.
Yeah. Which is unlike you. You hate
it. It is unlike me because I don't have a really good time, you know, going on a train to busy places.
But and London is way busy. Change man. Interesting. Alrighty. So is there anything else you've been up to for your fortnight of leafing?
And Les says you didn't think to put socks on. I am wearing socks in that picture.
I didn't.
I've got like sports socks on. What's even more weird is what like the way I'm standing in that. My legs look weird in that picture.
I didn't really notice.
Yeah, it's all right. It's not worth looking at. But yeah, what have you got to tell me about your 14 days of reefing? Firstly, I'm assuming everything was fine with your because your dad looks after the tank, doesn't he?
Oh, he didn't this time actually, but because it was only 4 days. Okay. Iceland's bloody expensive. You don't want to go there for more than a few days. Yeah. So I came back. Everything was fine. Oh, actually, no, Lara, my missus's sister did look after the tank for half the time. She came up on the weekend. Yeah. But everything was generally fine. Three of the four tanks were absolutely perfect, no problems whatsoever. The cage, though, Midas bloody died.
It's weird. Why? Like, what would make that die?
So the only, I didn't feed that tank. I had no auto feeders. I didn't set up any auto feeders on any of the tanks.
Yeah,
because I figured 4 days is going to be fine. And at the end, Lara's sister was feeding the main tank. I think it must have been that. Maybe he was already underfed. He didn't look it, but I got back and I just didn't. I couldn't see him, and I've not seen him since. So he's obviously rotted away in there somehow, somewhere.
She probably left the lid off at one point one night.
Yeah, jumped out,
and then like it's probably down the back, and you're thinking, well, I kind of jumped because it's got a lid.
I know. I always like with these two tanks up here, it's like a bit like the main tank, you can put in as much food as you want and it doesn't really matter. So I don't really care if they get overfed. But these two tanks and the reef cast, the little one, it's easier to overfeed them. So I normally just say, I just leave it. But 4 days is, that was a shame. All the other fish were fine, even though my little corny little pipe fish, he's fine. But
it's weird that sometimes that happens. Like, yeah. I had a goby for 11 years. That's the other thing I forgot to tell you. I had a goby for 11 years. 11 years for a goby. It seems like a long time. And the other day I found that and it just died. And I'm like, did you die of old age or did you die of something else? Because I don't know how long a goat would be lives for.
See, this is the trouble. It's really difficult to work out because I lost a RAS. I've lost a few RAS in the last year or so, but I lost a RAS, I don't know, a year or so ago. And I'd had him for about 5 or 6 years. Yeah. And I tried to find out life expectancy. And it's so difficult because it varies so much. Like a clownfish will live 30 years. Copper-banded butterfly will live 15 years.
Yeah.
And then there are other fish that live much less. But it's just it varies so massively. So you can't just say, oh, fish live 10 years, for example. So yeah. And the RAS is 5 to 7 years seems to be about life expectancy. And with a Midas Blenny, it's more like 3 to 5 years. Yeah. But he was still junior. I had one that was older and bigger than him. He yeah. died of natural causes, I think. But yeah, it's so difficult to work out life expectancy for a fish. Some people, like clownfish, you can get told quite easily they can live for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
But there are loads of fish that you go researching and all you've got is people saying, well, this is what, like, anecdotal evidence, basically.
Yeah. I just wondered, like, what would have changed the
11 years feels good for a goby, though, is what I'm saying.
Well, let's put it this way. There are not going to be many 11-year-old gobies knocking around, I don't think.
Mm.
So maybe in the ocean, I don't know. Probably less likely in the ocean, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Get eaten.
It was one of those. I was bought as a yellow watchman goby, but there is actually a goby. I can't tell you the name of it. I only found this out because I was just happened to be flicking through a magazine once. You know, back in the day when people used to read magazines, and it said, "Well, congratulations that you can read." it said, "Have you got an imposter in your tank?" And there's a goby that starts off looking identical to a yellow watchman goby, and then it turns brown, yes. And that's what I had. And I just thought it was maybe a male or a female or something, but it was a completely different species. And I just didn't know what it was. I mean, to be fair, even now, I don't know what it was. It was just a goby, but it wasn't a yellow watchman goby.
But that wasn't the one that died. That was the one that died. It was. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, okay. So you don't even know what it was to look up whether it was.
No.
It was that.
But it makes me realize how old some of my fish are. Like, because I go back and look at, like, through pictures from, like, Facebook and stuff like that, and posting things. And you're like, oh my God, this was like so long ago. and then you realize that you've had it all that time. And all the tanks it's been in, all the it's progressed from, it's been for every crash, everything. And yeah, so yeah. That anyway, sorry, I interrupted your week of reefing, didn't I?
Yeah. Oh, so okay. So I'd say the first, I didn't really do anything. First week, I didn't have anything. Like, if we had done the live stream last week, I wouldn't have had anything to talk about because I didn't do anything. But the tank was, most tanks were fine, but the Midas Blenny didn't make it, unfortunately. Yeah. But apart from that, the tank was great. And I said beforehand, I was a couple of weeks ago, I think I said I was starting to increase my magnesium. And you were saying 50 parts per million per day is what you think you should increase it by. And I said I'd read like 50 to 100, whatever.
Yeah.
It ended up going up about 200 parts per million over about 6 weeks in total. Okay. So really, really slow. I found it's even because I use the same magnesium crystals you do, the magnesium chloride hexahydrate.
Yeah.
And I poured loads in. So I made it a really intense solution. And it's now up to 1380 as of this morning.
Yeah.
So it's back to normal. Well, back to good levels. So, but oh, actually, that's one thing I'd forgotten about. So I'm trying to do the same on my water box, which is a little bit low. It's 1250 now, but yeah. I still want it higher. And I've set up an Ecotec Versa that I've been using for Kalkwasser for the last year or so, and I've set that up to do the magnesium, yeah. And it's broke.
Really?
I think it's just the. It's doing this weird thing when it kind of half turns, then gets stuck. I think just the dosing head thing needs replacing. So I've ordered a new one.
Yeah.
But it's not doing it. So I've had to turn it off until that arrives. I'm hoping that will fix it. But
I don't know if that's a regular thing. That's the one Ecotec product I think that I've never had. I've never had a Versa.
I love it for Kalkwasser. I think it's fantastic for that. But for one thing, I'd never used it for anything other than Kalkwasser. And then when I went to set up on magnesium, which so normally when I set up a dosing pump,
yeah,
I set it to dose every hour 5 milliliters an hour or whatever, and you know, and that's how so it'll dispense a small amount regularly. But with a Versa, you can't do that. you can only set it so it continuously doses. So you can set it, you can set the time. So you can say, if you got 100 milliliters of magnesium, you can say, I want you to dose that over 24 hours or over a 30 minute period, whatever. But you, you can't set it to dose on the hour, every hour, which is, it's weird.
I've never used one, but that seemed like an odd thing to not be able to do.
It's probably better because it means it's completely silent. Because that if you turn them onto full blast, they're noisy. But if they're on anything below 50%, which is loads of capacity, they're really quiet. You can't hear them. So it's probably a good thing that it dispenses it really gently throughout the day. But it turns so slowly when it's, if you set it for 100 milliliters over the course of 12 hours, the thing turns so slowly you can't see it. You'd have to do a time lapse I don't like it because I'm not used to it. I think it's probably theoretically better than the other way, but it's just different and I'm like, I don't like it. But but for Calcrest it's been wicked, and I think this, the replacing the head will fix it because it's still, the motor's turning, so it's just the edge bit that's not. We'll dip back into that in a second.
Well, you're being told that you can set it up like any other regular doser.
I'm not convinced you can, but I'll take your word for it because I didn't do a big digging. Edward, though, first off, so a super chat, $5. Thank you. I've been dosing calc for a week. No two-part. Alky's 8.3. Cool. Good start. More testing needed, but I'm in. Cult of Calcwasser. Hashtag cult of Calcwasser. Nice. Calc is the truth. It's good shiz. And let's talk about where is the Versa? What are you talking about? You can set the Versa to dose like a regular doser. I looked into it. I couldn't see how you can do, but I'll take your word for it. I couldn't set it to, you can't set it. I couldn't see that you could set a schedule up so it doses every hour. And I looked at the Reef Dudes videos. I looked in, I played around with the app. I tried to set up a custom schedule, but anyway. Maybe I'm wrong. There are no facts on this live stream, so it doesn't matter.
True.
But yeah, so what else? What else was my weekend briefing? Okay, we've got some more exciting stuff. So
when are you telling people the proper gossip? It's like I can't contain myself anymore. I know one of your secrets. I've known it for like 3 weeks.
I've started to shut down my tank.
There you go.
That happened yesterday. Properly. So I've been just thinking about it for ages, and I think I've said before, the thing that puts me off doing it is the hassle of shutting down.
I'm not sure people heard that. You were so like nonchalant when you said that. Yeah. He's starting to shut down his main display tank. What he meant to say.
Yeah. My Red Sea Reefer Peninsula 500.
You know the nice one with all the SPS corals? That one.
Yeah.
See which Several. Tank is being shut down.
Yeah. There you go. It's the main one. Yeah. So the let me show you on Instagram. Oh, I'll show you on Ultimate Reef because I took out some corals today. But yeah, I've started to shut that down.
Why?
Because I want to upgrade, basically. So here we go. So that's a before photo is the top one, and then after is the middle. So you probably can't see because you know I study this all day, of course. But two massive colonies are gone. The thing is, so I'm quite impulsive. So I've put off doing this for a long time because the hassle of shutting down a tank is real. You've done it before with your 1,000 liter tank. It's such a pain. And also if I listed everything for sale all at once, you get 1,000 people contacting you. You get Facebook messages, forum messages, texts, everything. I can't keep on top of it. Yeah. So I'm doing, and that's put me off. So I'm doing it bit by bit. So I listed 7 colonies the other on Friday. I'm quite impulsive. So suddenly I was like, this is happening now. I'm going to go and take some photos. They were crap photos with my second camera that's not very good. I was like, I'm doing it. I'm putting 7 on. I'm going to get rid of them. So I sold a few and I've got loads more to go. But yeah, I'll be upgrading. But the plan is,
are you upgrading the background?
I am.
You're going to have a black or blue background.
I'm going one step better than that.
Okay.
The birds they're migrating.
Are you getting rid of the wallpaper?
I am. Yeah. So what I want to do is I'm not going to set up the new tank for probably a few months, a little while. I've got no timeline by when. I definitely want to do it, you know, in the summer, I would say, but I've got no fixed timeline. But I'm going to strip down the tank, sell it, sell everything, Potentially.
Maybe not the lights.
Maybe. Anyway, I'll sell all the livestock for sure. And then I will I'll get rid of it, redecorate the living room, because the missus has wanted to get rid of that wallpaper for basically since we moved in. And we've got a couple other things to do in the living room, so we'll get that sorted, and then I'll put the new tank in and set it up.
Are you getting rid of the fish?
Yeah, that's what I've been talking about that today. So it's I don't want to, but
you have no soul if you're getting rid of the fish. I would never get rid of my fish. In fact, even fish that are given to me, and after a week I'm like attached to them, I can't get rid of them.
The thing is, I can't see how I can keep them, because I've got a couple of potential options, but my problem is this isn't going to be a job where I have one hectic day where I shut the tank down, move the new tank into place, and then transfer everything over and move all the livestock over. That's not happening. Just I don't want that. I want this to this is a take my time. If it takes 6 weeks to get the tank wet, that's what it takes. If it takes me 3 weeks to do the cable tidying before I even set the tank up, so be it. You know, this is I'm taking it slow on this one, so there's no way I'm doing it. Yeah, exactly. Only slightly more deliberate. So there's no way that's happening, and I don't want to do that. So I can either, but I don't want to lose the fish, to be honest. I've got all the fish in that tank. The ones that I've got left are really cool fish, and I've had them for
a while. Are they?
Whitetail coltang, mystery wrasse, leopard wrasse, three hawkfish. I love those hawkfish. A rabbit of some kind. Not that many, to be fair.
I could probably take them, in all honesty. Really? I probably could, yeah. Well, they'll go somewhere. I mean, you might never get them back. But
yeah, yeah.
But, like, the cold tank might be a bit more difficult because obviously I have tangs in every tank. But I reckon I could take... like, the hawkfish will be fine. Yeah, I reckon I could take these. Like, I wouldn't want you to get rid of them if you want to keep them. We look after each other, don't we?
Well, in that case, if you heard that, guys, this is happening.
There is. You did also hear, like, there's a housing fee as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's a fee attached. So, you know how you said it's going to take, like, months and months and months? Yeah. What? You know, they've got to pay bed and board, haven't they?
I think it's going to take 2 days.
Yeah, all of a sudden they'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay, wicked. Well, in that case, that would be fantastic. Thank you. But we'll talk about that later. That'd be cool.
I wouldn't want you to get rid of them just because, when I've got space for them, so...
Because it's funny, because the new tank won't be aquapora dominated like this one is.
Yeah.
It'll be, I think I'm going to, I can't really make my mind up because I bloody love SBS, but I think I want LPS. Just a change as much as anything. For the last 6 years, I've been obsessed with acros, and I like the idea of a bit of movement. I like the idea of a bit of a change. The one thing that I don't like about acros is I'm constantly obsessing about colors, and there's always something wrong with probably half a dozen of the corals in the tank, or maybe even more. Some of them look spectacular. Others, they go through stages where they look awesome and then they don't look so good, and then you can't recover it. And then it's like, oh, it's just... So I'm fed up of fussing over acro.
Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you mean, because it's like you can have... Some of them could be great, but you don't care about the 10 great ones. It's like the one not great one is the only one you can focus on.
And even so, there's some, like, I had a Euro Corals coral, Optimus Prime acro. It was amazing. And when you see it top down, it looks so good. It looked amazing. Even from, it's not one where you have to get a microscope to see all the colors. Yeah. It looks fantastic. But when you look side on through the glass, it looks all right, but nothing special. Yeah. And so, whereas I find LPS corals always look awesome, they look even more awesome top down, but just front on, they always look awesome. Whereas the acros, they look lovely, but they don't. They look like 7 out of 10 front on, and then 10 out of 10. So just a few things I want to change, and I do want to switch it. But that has started to happen. It's going to take me a while to do it because I got a lot of corals and all that sort of stuff. But I don't mind losing the corals, though. I don't mind that I'm keeping a frag of each of my nicest acro, and I might end up having. It was funny. I posted on Ultimate Reef. I said it's all LPS, but I'm going to keep some of my most special acros.
Yeah.
And then someone commented to say, I'm giving up drinking except beer and wine on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And as soon as he said that, I was like, actually, that's a good point, because am I, all the reasons I'm getting rid of Acros, well, I'm not, so I'm still going to have those same issues. So I do, but I'm going to keep them for now anyway, and I'll see how it goes. But
just get rid of the ones that don't do well and keep the ones that are easy.
Well, but this is, well, so that was the original plan, but then I'm keeping all some nice Acros. But, and I don't even know if I've seen some really nice mixed reef tanks where there are Acros at the top and LPS at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's going to work, to be honest, but I think I'll probably give it a crack. I've got nothing to lose. And a few frags might go brown. That's about it. So
you have just as much trouble with your LPS tank, though, where you say you said the other day, oh, yeah, there's like 10 pieces here that are not doing, are not, you're not happy with the extension of the Goni or whatever. You're going to have just as much trouble with an LPS tank. Do you know what you need? Mushroom corals and softies.
Pulsing Xenia. No, I don't. What's that? What's that? Oh, is it? Oh, it's this thing. Oh, I need to tell you about that later. I have different issues. So the thing is, like with the LPS coral, like gonies are a pain in the ass anyway. So, but the gonies I have that I'm struggling with, they've shriveled up and they're really not looking good. But it's quite binary with LPS corals. They're either fantastic or they're half dead.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas SPS, there's like this massive spectrum of like it will even some branches of a colony look spectacular and then the other looks a bit dull, and there's just it's nothing is ever. So with LPS corals, they're either awesome or they're dead. With SPS, there's like 1,000 shades of gray, and trying to go through each stage and steadily increase it and make it slightly better. That's the bit that, to be fair, I'm gonna have problems with anything. So I'll switch over, and there'll be things that I like about not having Acros, and there'll be things I don't like. And what I might do is for the first 2 years go LPS until I've achieved and made it look the way I want it to, and then after 2 years pull out the LPS corals and go Acros. But I don't know. I'm going to start
like,
with.
You like to change LPS things all the time.
I do. Yeah, I'm a lot. I don't sit still.
Because I'm the opposite of you. I'll drop a frag in, forget that I've put it there, and then like 3 months later it's encrusted on the rock and has grown.
But that's what I want, really. These are all things I might do. I don't really know, but it's going to be LPS tank, and I love the water box so much. It's so awesome.
Yeah,
that I want that only six times the size, not six times the size, but so that's what I'm doing with that.
Do you know what tank you're going for yet? Jay's asking.
No, I'm not, definitely not sticking with the Red Sea Reefer. The only thing I don't like about that is that it's so tall. Because it's a peninsula, they're designed to be quite imposing. So the cabinet is 100 centimeters high, whereas most cabinets are only 90 centimeters. So it's over 3 inches taller than normal. And the tank is another 60 centimeters, 2 feet tall. So you can never see top down without a stepladder. And
so I like that.
But I even saw that. I saw someone with a Red Sea Reefer 425 XL, and that was way shorter. And I loved it. So
I hate the look of a net, even nice nets. I've got some proper fancy nets that came from America. I hate the look. If I have a tank, I want it to have no net on it, but then fish jump out. So you have to have a net. Mm-hmm. So if I have to have a net, I want the tank tall enough so I can't see the net, because I think it takes away from the look of the tank.
That doesn't bother me so much. But what I realized the other day was there are so many options now. When I set up my first tank, it was a clear seal reef space. And the choices were that. There was one by TMC, I can't remember what it's called, that the front glass people said it would bow after 6 months.
I think I remember those tanks.
And then there were a couple of Red Sea, like the Red Sea Max ones, where they were like an all-in-one system. And they weren't very, it wasn't the Red Sea Reefers. They weren't out at that point. So that you didn't really have any options. Now,
they were like a biorb. No, it wasn't the
biorb.
Brown. Which had like a black lid on it. The light was in the thing.
T5s and...
Yeah.
There was a Kent Marine one that was an all-in-one. They were all a bit rubbish, but now there's so many. So someone said Neptunian Cube, which is a new company. There's DD Reef Pro. There's Waterbox Red Sea. There's Cade. There's loads. There's so many options, and it's brilliant because they all do things slightly differently. I think the three most likely candidates are Cade, Red Sea, Waterbox.
Yeah.
And there are things that I like about each of them. that I, in an ideal world, I'd be able to say, right, I want that from the Red Sea, that from the Cade, and that from the water box, because there's no perfect tank for me unless you went custom, which is also an option.
So, what you can make a new brand of tanks. Just take the best things of each of them, combine
Reef dork tanks.
Reef dork tanks.
Oh yes. There you go. But yeah, there's no perfect tank. But if I went custom, that would be the closest thing to perfect. But there's things that there's in particular there's a Cade there's a Red Sea tank that I really like, the 850S, which is massive. It's got a Eurobrace. It looks really nice.
I think I've seen that one.
Yeah, and then there's a water box tank, the Frag, which you don't like because it's quite low. I like the lower ones, and even
you'll have a lid on it though, won't you?
Yeah.
So even if it's low, you're still going to have to have the lid on it. You don't have a lid on your water box at the moment, do you?
Don't tell anyone that.
But we just don't talk about that because it's not appropriate. But I know you'd have a lid on it, so it's not going to give you the same visual look because unless you're also not going to have a lid on the one downstairs.
No, I will do. I was thinking about that because I was thinking if I can have a big Euro brace, might be able to get away with it, but I think probably not because I've got a Gobi. And I want to keep that Gobi. So, they will jump. They'll jump as soon as
I can't guarantee you'll get the Gobi back.
Yeah, okay. I could probably keep him up here.
I've got space for a Gobi now, so you never know.
You'll like it. But yeah, I don't have any firm plans. I've got a few options of what I like. But I'll firm that up in the next few weeks. I just want to, I actually quite enjoy looking forward to the idea of that tank being gone.
Yeah.
I love it, but the idea that it's gone, I don't have to do water changes on it every week, I have to scrape the glass and all that, I can have a bit of living room space back, quite like it.
Yeah, well, I don't know, I thought it would be fun setting up another tank. It has not been fun for me so far. I think that's because obviously I have so many other things, like other corals to deal with, if you see what I mean. So it's not so much a hobby anymore for me. It's a business. So I've just added to the business, if you see what I mean.
But that's the only thing I'm thinking is that I've seen too many tanks lately set up, and the first 12 months I have all sorts of problems, including, you know, the Cade, for example. I've got a bit of green cyano or whatever it is. It's, to be fair, that's not really a big issue, but I've seen too many tanks, and like your tank, and I think, do I want that hassle? But I was thinking about, because when I set up my Red Sea Reefer Peninsula 500, my main tank, I didn't get an ugly stage. I did later down the line, I got dinos and I got cyano, but that was nothing to do with the setup. That was way after the first 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
So I didn't have an ugly stage, and I think I will go through the same again, because what I'm going to shut down more tanks as well. There's going to be a tank apocalypse. So what in particular, the water box up here is going. When I've got a new tank downstairs, I don't need that LPS tank.
Yeah.
So I'll get rid of that. And so all the contents of this tank will go into the new one. And that will probably be more or less from day one, to be honest. I'll move the entire rock over because it's an established rock.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll still be sterile because there won't be bacteria in the sand and all that stuff. But it should be all right. And I'm looking forward to having fewer tanks.
The best tank I ever set up with, I think, was when I did it in the coral farm. Because I moved coral over on day one. So literally, I just got massive colonies of coral from my 1,000-liter tank. That there was, I put in a bottle of Fritz bacteria, and that was it. There was no fish in there, nothing. And I dosed nitrate and dosed phosphate. Never had any, as far as I remember. There was one day of a bacterial bloom, and I put a UV sterilizer on it, and that was it. Never had a problem. I think it's because there was such diversity of bacteria on the corals from such an established tank. It was completely fine. As far as I remember, I might be looking back with rose-colored glasses. It might have been terrible. And someone will go, I watched your video yesterday, and you did have trouble. But as far as I remember, I didn't.
Well, that's an interesting point, because I sold the corals. I was going to sell one of my, I've got three islands in my main tank, and I was just going to sell the middle one, complete with everything on it. Loads of corals. It would have been quite expensive. But some guy said, he messaged me on, sent me a...
Some guy.
Lives near me.
Some Steve. Guy.
Hi, Steve. Sent me a message on Ultimate Reef and said, or he posted on the thread and asked if he could take it. He's like, look, I'm just setting up my tank. It's got water in it now. It's going to be ready in a week or something.
Yeah.
And someone else commented to say, someone else very experienced was like, don't put aquarius in a brand new sterile tank. You're asking for trouble. And I was thinking about that. I was trying to think, because I'm not just going to sell corals to someone just so I can get a few quid. If that's a really bad idea, then yeah. I'm not going to do it. And I was thinking, I was trying to work out whether I thought it was a terrible idea or just a risky bad idea. And I decided it wasn't the worst idea ever.
Yeah,
because I would potentially do it myself, yeah. But I decided that it was a risk and quite a high risk with acros in particular, so probably better not to do it. But it wasn't. I didn't think, if it was me doing it, so I reasonably experienced now, I would be comfortable that it would be okay.
Yeah,
maybe not with acros, but I thought about your when you set up your system.
I didn't do it with acros though. It was all like digis. It was basically all Montipora.
But you were dosing nitrate and phosphate.
Yes, I was.
Which is really good, because the issue that I have, and I don't like giving new tanks too much light too soon, because I always have problems when I do that. So that's the one thing that I'm compromising is when I set up the new tank, because I'll be putting corals in. This is the current plan. It might change. I'd potentially be putting corals in after a week, a month, a day, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then I'll have to have the light high enough to keep the corals happy, but not so high that everything goes crazy.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I could put the lights really low for a month. The corals would be fine. But that's the one thing that's making me think maybe I should leave it a few months, but I don't know. I'll work it out.
just be mentally prepared that you may have an entirely different experience this time, because every tank I've set up loads of tanks before, and this is the one I've had the most trouble with. I don't know why.
yeah, this is very true. So and that's the other thing, is just because it's worked for me, some things have worked for me before, doesn't mean it'll work for me again.
100%.
There are all sorts of things that you don't know are happening that happen differently, and very true. Jay, you've said Roa is a no-go for gonies. Why did you say that? I use Roa in my main tank, and I've got a couple of gonies that do very well. You use Roa Foss in... Oh, no. Well, Nias Fuzzy Egg, same thing, though. That's all right.
Yeah, I do use it in mine, and I have used Roa Foss as well. That's what I'm interested to see what... No.
I'm guessing it'll be a trace element thing, because it pulls out...
I assume so, yeah.
Well, I don't know what it pulls out, but it'll probably pull out some stuff. Anyway, tell us. So I'll do it. We'll talk about this another time. I'll do a proper thumbnail where it's about the breakdown, all that sort of stuff, but I want to do it slowly. I don't want to, because if I advertised every single coral for sale, for a start, I've probably got 100 corals in that tank.
Yeah,
it would just be chaos. People knocking at my door every 5 minutes, and
people are now going to try and get ahead of the other people and contact you over.
I know. I get that already, but that's fine. I'm going to try to have a controlled stream, like a dam, just letting a little trickle out, but the walls might break and it'll just go crazy. But also I'm in no rush. I like the idea of setting it, breaking down slowly. Oh, that's one thing. So because I sold a lot of my coral yesterday by weight. One of them was like, it was over a foot long. It's an acro, massive.
Yeah.
So I lost a lot. So I knew that my alkalinity and calcium, of course, was going to go up. So I reduced my dosing by 30%.
Yeah.
And that was about right. I didn't have let me have a look and check in. I've set it on my tester to test every cage keeper to test every 2 hours. And it was pretty much flat. It was pretty much stable. It hadn't spiked at all. So I think I'd got it roughly right. I don't really care if it goes up and down a little bit. It's just, I don't want it to go up by like 1 dkh in the space of a day. Yeah, it's creeping up a tiny bit. It started the day at 7.47. It's now 7.48. Okay, so it's basically flat. So cool. And also because the corals were shading. So the jack-o'-lantern leptoceris that you're keen on, that was being shaded by a couple of these acros, and now they're gone. Yeah. It's suddenly getting a lot more light. So I don't think that's going to wipe out, but it's possible that some of the corals will be like, I'm melting.
Yeah.
I'll find that I'll know that quickly. So if that's going to happen, they'll start fading quite soon. But I don't want to turn the whole lights down on the whole system just for that. I think they'll probably be okay.
Just do it all in one go. So much easier.
Well, this is true. But yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but that's happening. So yeah, tanks going. Exciting times. Yeah. We've talked. What are you going to change from before, apart from LPS, i.e. equipment dosing, etc.? I've been thinking about Calcquasar a lot. So I was considering moving away from Calcquasar to go to Reef Sediments pH Plus, which is what I'm dosing on my Cade and my water box. But I don't think I'm going to do that on my, instead of Calcquasar. I don't think I'm going to do that on my main tank. I think I'm going to stick with Calcquasar. So Calcquasar is going to be the base of my dosing. And I will also dose magnesium separately, and I'll probably have a separate bottle for calcium as well, so I can adjust the dosing. I'll dose. I'm going to pick your brains about the trace elements you dose. I'll do the same. That's dosing. That's probably it. Quite simple. I'm going to try to keep it fairly simple. And equipment, I'm probably going to change. I might keep the lights, because it's going to be expensive to replace them, and they are the Refactory Reef Flare Pro Blue M's. I've got four over a 4 foot tank, which is way too many, so that could easily go over the 6 foot tank. But I really like the idea of having Kessels, so I might go for Kessels for lights. Power heads, I've got MP40s, so I can probably stick with them. I might go for Tunsies. I like some of the new Tunsies, but probably don't need to spend that money. Skimmer. Oh, one thing I realized, and this is so because YouTube generates an income, you have to I have to tot up everything that I earn from YouTube, for everything I sell, basically any income I generate, I have to tot up and declare for taxes, and that includes selling corals. So if I sell coral, I have to pay tax on it, which is like most people don't, and that's really bloody annoying. This year, so this financial year ends in 6 weeks time, and I was on course to make a small loss or a small profit, no real issue. And then suddenly I realized yesterday, hang on, I've sold a load of corals. Now I'm going to make a huge profit, which means, I don't know, half of that or whatever is going. So if I sell my corals for £1,000, I only get 500 quid, and I've got to give 500 quid to Rishi Sunak. And I suddenly realized that the other day. And the reason I mentioned that is because that means I've got to spend a load of money on my tank now.
So what you want is some Prestige Reef gift cards. Store the money for you.
I don't know if you can expense gift cards, but anyway, what I'm not going to do that. I did think about that, but I'm gonna buy a Bubble King skimmer, a fancy one.
I am expensing my trip to London Aquarium because I went to the aquarium. It is fish related, and I put a picture on Instagram. As far as I'm concerned, and I have video of the fish, which I can use in video, like background and video
footage. Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, that is
business.
That is a tax deductible expense.
Okay, I see. I'm quite cautious on that. I'm not saying you're wrong to do that, but I need to speak to my accountant. But anyway, the easiest way to do it is just spend the money. So I'm going to spend the money. I'm going to buy a Bubble King because I just thought, sod it, I want one. I've always wanted one, and I can afford it now. So. Doing it.
There you go.
So equipment. So that's I'll have that as a skimmer. My rare phosphate reactor, I'm sticking with the Nice Talk. It's really good. Roller mat, filter mat, I haven't decided. It's either going to be Red Sea or Refactory. We'll see, but I don't know. But that's about it. I don't think I need much more than that. And return pump is the one I've got at the moment, which is a Refactory one. If I didn't have the Refactory, I'd go Jekod. So there you go.
James has said he'd love to watch the argue out with the taxman. That is a legitimate. I'm legitimately allowed to do that because it, like, as I said, I have footage for the YouTube videos, and I get taxed on the income from the YouTube videos. So even my accountant said if I went scuba diving, I can do it as well, because if I'm filming it, it's part of the YouTube channel. So
yeah, my accountant said basically the same sort of thing about similar things before. It's like, if it's going on there, then it is. And the people expense all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
I think because there's no hard and fast rule. It's not like you can do this and you can't do that. It's all very vague. So it just, I think it depends on your risk appetite. But anyway,
I'm not too worried about 20 quid of London Aquarium or whatever it's the cost of getting.
And you're too honest. The tax man would never find out about the corals. Yeah, I know. And I'm never going to get audited, but I'm the thing, you can say what you want about lawyers, right? But as, and there are some dodgy as hell lawyers, don't get me wrong, but as a lawyer, the rules are drilled into you. So for years and years, I'm told to do things by the book, and that's why. So I'm quite down the line with that sort of thing because I fear doing things wrong. But anyway, enough tax advice from Presti Grief. There's something else I was going to pull up as well. How is your reef? Oh no, no. Oh, okay. Well, I was just pulling up some other stuff. How is your Refactory Smart Tester performing? Are you pleased with the readings and trusted? So I've not been testing it against the. I've probably had it 6 months now. I've not been testing it against the HANA checker. But let me pull this up and show you. I trust it. I do trust it actually. I don't trust it enough to. There are some of these devices you can get them to test, and then based on that result, they will dose lanthanum chloride or whatever, or dose phosphate. I don't trust it enough to do that. I don't trust any device enough to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do trust that this is an accurate, more or less an accurate result. Actually, last time I did test it, I think the HANA said it was 0.10 and the smart tester said 0.12 or something like that. But it was within range. That for me, that's accurate enough. I don't know which one's right, but that's fine. Because if you're trying to nail your phosphate down so precisely that it must be 0.02, not 0.03, well, you mean you're that's a mug's game. That's, yeah. None of our testing equipment is that accurate. But anyway, it's accurate enough for me. It's been actually really good. The first one broke after a couple of weeks after I uploaded the first review, so I'd probably had it a month and it broke. The second one, it sent me this weird message a couple of times that said, here we go, I'll show you the thing. So it said, can't clean dropper of reagent 2. Can't add reagent 2, can't add reagent 2. It did that for a couple of days, and I didn't touch it, and it just went back to working. I went down to look at it to see what the problem was, but it just started working again, so who knows. But you can see the test results are pretty consistent, and it's been helpful because it's showed me, where is it? Yeah, 0.23 is when it started to go back up again, so I changed my RoFOS, and then it went back down, 0.17, so it goes back down. So far, I actually quite like it. The first one did go wrong, but they replaced it. But apart from that, I do trust it. I don't think it's 100% accurate, but I don't think any of our equipment is. But oh, how are you getting on with the ReefBot? Is that a bad question? Have you not touched it?
No. I do. So it's fine. And it's, to be fair, it's actually like pretty consistent. But I don't have it testing all the time. I literally obviously turn it on and turn it off to test it. And I'm only testing alkalinity. Now, I already have other things to test alkalinity. The reason I'm only testing alkalinity is because I haven't bought all the other tests because I haven't got around to it yet.
The reagents, yeah.
Yeah, I need all the reagents for all the other tests. So I'm going to get the phosphate one next because that's actually the thing I most want automated. Mm. I've got really light all of a sudden on my screen. Yeah. I don't know why. I've not done anything. so that is, so I'm going to get a phosphate one. I was thinking, I actually wrote it down just a minute ago to go buy phosphate tests, and I'll do that tonight because sometimes I remember things on the stream, write them down, then do them afterwards.
I know.
But it's the same with lots of things with me. It's about like actually doing it. But it's fine. So when I use it to test alkalinity, it works.
But good. But phosphate is wicked. Having phosphate tested automatically is cool. And I will be transferring the smart tester across to my new tank, which probably is the best. And that's the one thing with this new tank is there will be some stuff on it that I get given for free, no doubt. But I'm not going to take... I've decided the equipment that I want, and I'm going to get it no matter what. So if I approach a company and say, like Kessels, for example, if I approach Kessel and say, look, do you want to provide some lights? And they say, no, I'm buying Kessels anyway.
Don't say that. Say, I'm never buying Kessels ever again.
Yeah, they're disgusting. Or if Ecotech said, we'll give you 1,000 XR30s, I'll be like, no, thanks, I want Kessels. So no matter what, all the equipment I have on this tank will be exactly what I want. I'm not going to have a single thing where I'm like, oh, well, I guess that'll be okay. Everything is going to be exactly what I want. Regardless, and I'll probably end up buying most of it, but
regardless of how free it is.
But that's the thing. That's real, because it's easy to say, oh, you know, no, I'll take that because they are good.
Yeah,
even if it's like your second choice, and it doesn't matter. Like, say for example, my two top choices for lights would be the Refactory ones that I currently have, or the Kessels. Excuse me. Hang on, just gonna pause and cough. That it would be those two. And are my corals going to grow much quicker if I have one than the other? No, they're not. Is the tank going to look more spectacular if I have one than the other? No, it's going to be fine. But so I don't think that sort of thing
matters. I disagree with what you just said then. I think light does make a massive difference. Like, I personally, I don't care. But having seen different types of lighting, it does make a difference, I think. I think that...
To the way the tank looks, actually, the second part of my statement, I retract that.
not so much about how whether the corals will grow, because lots of lights will grow corals at different level, but how, like, different lights produce different light, which, I mean, true. There you go. That's, there you go. You heard it here first. Different lights produce different light.
Science with Ryan.
So I do notice that your tank looks different to mine.
Yeah.
When I see your tank.
It's funny as well, because it's not just like there are the reef bright strips that I have, for example, they are a mix of 450 nanometer and 470 nanometer LEDs. Yeah. And the reef factory lights also have 450 and 470, and you can control it. So it's just those. I have tried endlessly to get the reef factory to make the tank look the same as the reef brights. I can't do it. It doesn't look so. For whatever reason, even though the spectrum on paper is the same, the reef brights look different to the reef factories. Even if you try to tune it the same, I can't get it to look. So even if you set the spectrum the same, I bet it will look different manufacturer to manufacturer. So, okay. So, but in terms of growth, I don't think it'll make a difference. Growth and health, I don't think it'll make a difference.
Do you think that you have a problem?
Yeah, I do have a problem. I've got several
problems. If you care that much, I'm starting to wonder if you have a problem.
But it's because I just love that there's a certain look I love with the blue pop in the evening. And the best light to ever do it was the Evergrows for me. With two full Evergrows covering the full top of the tank, it made the blues in the evening. That was the best blues in the evening I've ever had. And I've been chasing that to an extent since, with the exception of actually the AI Blades, which are almost as good, if not as good.
Why don't you just get the Evergrows again?
Because the biggest one they do is 4 foot, and this is a 6 foot tank. So I'd have to have a 4 foot one and then a 2 foot one, and it would look ugly. And the control is awful.
You have 3 2 foot ones.
Exactly. And I'd have to have 6 2 foot ones because the spread isn't very good. And the control isn't. Also, the control, like the control doesn't matter because the remote control on the Evergo is terrible. And it's just really awkward to use. You've got to change every time point individually. But once you've set up, that doesn't matter. But for me, because I need to make videos and I need to take photos, sometimes I need to turn the light onto blue instantly, and I need to turn onto white instantly. You can't do that with the Evergrows. So that's a deal breaker, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas you can do it with the Blades, for example. But anyway, I can't even remember where I was going with that. But the LED wavelength drop-off varies from brand type. Brand and type says Polymate 3D. Yeah, there's something, it'll be something like that. If something is different, even when on paper it's the same.
Yeah.
And I like what I like. I think I've now worked out what I like, which is what I've got on the Cade, Kessel and AI Blades. Nice combo. Ryan, can you ship coral to Northern Ireland? Yes?
No, I'm 99% sure legally you still can't. I mean, I might be wrong, but I know since Brexit, you're not legally allowed to.
I think I've posted to Northern Ireland before.
You're not meant to.
Maybe it was before Brexit.
You're meant because the border is between England and Ireland, isn't it? Before to get like the actual like customs border, and that means you have to have CITES permits to transfer coral to Ireland.
But Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, but that's not where the customs border is, so it doesn't matter.
The customs border is Great Britain.
The customs, yes.
Because I don't know. You must be so because Great Britain is England, Wales, and Scotland.
Yes.
The United Kingdom is the United Kingdom of England, Wales, of Great Britain, England, Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland. Yes. So the border, because you can sell to Wales and Scotland. So the border.
Yeah. You just Britain.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Right. I'm now being told that it is legal. I'm 99% sure that it definitely wasn't legal originally, unless something's changed in like the last year. Then I don't know, but you definitely weren't allowed to. And if you look at coral sellers online, most of them have the same thing saying, I cannot ship to Northern Ireland.
Right, interesting.
Can you get corals there? Yes. Put them with, you can get, okay, put them in with Royal Mail. They'll ship them over. They'll get there within 24 hours. They'll still be fine. But legally, I don't think you're allowed to, because the customs border was between England, like
Britain and the,
yeah.
Okay, I definitely sold to Northern Ireland before. It was like one coral, and it might have been.
I thought you were a lawyer with a moral conscience.
This is like you can see I'm worried about that. But that, it was years ago. I think it was probably before Brexit. Do you know what? I'll save it for the judge.
I get asked all the time that question, and trust me, right. I would love to. I would love to be able to ship to Europe as well, because I would if I could. Yeah. Because people used to. So, like, but as soon as Brexit happened, it ruined it.
You should set up an overseas branch of Prestige Reef in continental Europe.
I actually would like to. I actually genuinely would like to. Just because it's obviously a massive market. I actually have a friend, the person who built the coral farm lives in Europe. So
he's a Malteser.
I have definitely considered it before. And, you know, if I were to expand and Prestige Reef was to franchise, then yeah. The government's website says you still need CITES permits in Northern Ireland. Yeah, see?
There you go. Yeah. This includes if you move CITES specimens between Great Britain, England, Scotland and Wales and the EU and Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Brooksmith nails it.
Do you know what I love? What I've just realised. So we had someone a minute ago saying it was legal and I disagreed with it. And then someone went, it is legal. No, it is illegal. And I went, and so I agree with it. And I went, there you go. So it's fine. So... just because someone agreed with me, it was the same number of people, if you see what I mean. And yeah, I don't know the background of either of those people. Look up Windsor framework regarding shipping to Northern Ireland. Signature Frank should know. Mm. So, like, I don't know what the Windsor framework says, but if I can, let me know, because I'm happy to do it, but I'm pretty sure I can't. See, Sigurd Frank doesn't ship to Northern Ireland.
I personally don't. Oh, okay. There you go. So, yeah, that's the answer. And that, it sounds like no one does. Just use special delivery. They won't find out. It's not about whether we get caught.
especially as the boxes say live animals on them.
Yeah. To be fair, technically nothing's illegal if you get caught, if you don't get caught. So, you know.
Technically true. And you did hear that from a lawyer, everyone.
It's not actually technically true, but. One last thing I wanted to talk about was this bad boy.
Yeah, well, I've been wondering what that is.
Hang on, let me see if I can turn on the light. Boo! This is an Anker 521 power bank, which is basically a battery backup. But there's a but. So I bought that because I've been waiting for it. It's been on my shopping list on Amazon for months on end. Yeah. And it was about 250 quid, 220 quid. Can't remember. It's quite a lot. And it went down to 190 a couple of months ago. And I was like, oh, should I buy it? Should I buy it? And then finally it went down to 160 last week. Yeah. So I bought it.
Or the week. Plus you have the money to spend. You don't want to make a profit.
I didn't know at that point. 160 quid. So I bought it. And my plan with that is that, because I don't have MP40s on or any Ecotec equipment on any of these tanks up here. So I need some kind of battery backup system in case there's a power cut. And now I've got that. The problem with it is, no, I'm not planning to have that as, excuse me, what's wrong with me? Hang on, let's get a cough. I'm not planning on having that as like a proper battery backup that kicks in automatically, because I don't think you can do that with 24 volt pumps, which is what all of my pumps are. I think it works with 12 volt pumps, but I need to get Telegram. We're going to get him on at some point. I might just have a separate stream where we just talk about battery backups for half an hour or something, because I don't really understand it. But basically,
when you say separate stream, do you mean without me? Because I'm not sure I can handle a battery backup stream.
We'll do it on like a Saturday afternoon or something, or a Saturday night. I don't know, whatever. Whenever Jim's free, I'll do a stream where we just talk about batteries for half an hour or something. Anyway, I think that. So I have, for example, I have a 12 volt pump, a return pump. But all of the pumps on all of these, on both of these tanks, are 24 volt. And I think I'm right in saying that this won't work with those. I should just plug them in and try, to be fair. But theoretically, this can function as an uninterruptible power supply, UPS. So if you had a 12 volt pump, it can be. So you plug this into the wall, you plug your pump into that. And then if you get a power cut, that will kick in instantly. then it should last a lot longer than the Ecotec one, although the Ecotec one lasts way long enough. That's what I was going to ask you about. So in the States, sometimes they get power cuts that will last for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And in the UK, our power cuts tend to be, if we get them, which is rare, they
don't
tend
even
to be...
say it. Don't even say it.
They tend to be 30 seconds or five yeah. minutes, you know. Obviously, hyperbole all over the place. But yeah, how long was your? Oh, you it just something tripped. It wasn't a power cut at your place.
Yeah, it was saying tripped. Yeah, I'd say it was definitely, it was 7 hours it was out. But yeah. It was something tripped. I don't know what caused it.
Because that's the one thing with. So these are potentially good in the States because they'll last much longer. But in the UK, you unmuted them before you go. Yeah. In the UK, the Ecotec battery backups will last for plenty. There's no way you're going to have a power outage that's going to outlast an Ecotec battery backup. But anyway, that is up here now. So if I do have a power cut and I'm at home, I can plug in a pump and be like, hey, oxygen. So there you go. That's it. £160 Amazon. But if that does turn out to be that it can work on any power head, including a 24 volt power head, then that is a game changer. So I'll preserve judgment, but if it does, I'll make a separate video on it.
Yeah,
because it'd be cool. £160 anyway. The last thing I want to talk about is actually links into the membership stuff. So I'm going to go to member questions now. And actually, I posted and asked for member questions, but I also asked, instead of just asking questions, I said, when were you at your happiest point in reef keeping? So this is the point of the live stream. If you just clicked on it for just this one bit, thanks for sitting through an hour and 11 minutes. But this, I thought about this because I was watching, there's a journalist in mixed martial arts called Ariel Helwani. And he's just I just quite like him. He's interesting. And he, the other day, someone asked him if you could only ever, he interviews people all the time. And someone asked him, if you could only ever ask one question for the rest of your life, what would it be? And the first thing he said was, well, I wouldn't be a journalist. You know, there'd be no point. I'd hate that. They're stupid. But he said, well, I'll tell you one of my favorite questions. And one of his favorite questions is to ask fighters, basically, at what point in your life were you the happiest in your fighting career? And he says he gets really interesting answers. And that's why that was the point of this. So the title is, when were you happiest in reef keeping? And there's lots of people asking lately, like I saw, I think there was something on Reef Builders about, is reef keeping stressful or is it relaxing? People ask that all the time as well. And it's like, actually, yeah. What was the point at which you were happiest? So I'm going to come back to you in a sec, because I know you won't have thought about it.
I could instantly tell you the answer. I knew immediately. You can come back to me in a minute.
Okay, we'll come back to you. But I'll read out what the Reef Talk members had to say. JJS said, probably just getting back into the hobby the past year or so is the happiest, most excited I've been. Excuse me. My tank was a 150 gallon that almost split open in my second floor apartment. That was back in 2014, and it really put me off having a tank. Finally bought a new one last year, and the only regret I have is not doing it sooner, and of course not going bigger. So that was got back into the hobby in the last year, so set up a tank in the last year. Second one was from Lysia Reese, who says, seeing the first bit of noticeable growth on my first SPS made me want to cry with happiness after being told I shouldn't go for hard corals and stick to softies because SPS are too difficult. Year later, any new growth on all my corals I see fills me with the same little bit of happiness I got from first seeing it. Third one, Rich's Reef. Oh, this was a nice one, actually. My three-year-old son pointing at a trackie in my tank and asking me what it was.
I can see that.
I want... Rich, for next week is for him to point a trackie and tell you what it is. So if we can train him on that, that would be great. That's the next level. But I like that. And then the last one was from Gozag408, who says, getting my tank through a lengthy, ugly phase and starting to look like something I'm proud of. and Slaz replied to that saying, going through that now, I only had the tank of 3 months. So... this was a bit of a varied one. On the Facebook group, I asked the same question as well, and a lot of people were saying it's the setup phase. And that was kind of when I think for me, when I was setting up, I had two times, I think, when I was setting up my Peninsula 500,
Yeah.
It was awesome because it was like this was going to be I'd had a bit of knowledge and it was going to be perfect, which obviously didn't turn out that way. Yeah. But that was wicked and it was really exciting. But also when I eventually when I got past Dino Flagellus, because that was Dino's, I had Dino's for months in that tank, and it was getting to the point where it was like, oh, what's the point of this? And so getting past that was more relief than anything.
Yeah.
But you said you had a particular point that was your happiest moment.
It wasn't. I wouldn't say it was a point. It's more of a couple of years, if I'm honest.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. It was the Miss Saltwater tank years. It was when the tank had been like, it was my 1,000-liter tank. It was established. I'd moved into some of the beginner SP. I had a few acros, but most of the beginner SPS corals at the time, but. For the first time, I was sharing it with other people. Mm. This our hobby is very like isolating.
Mm.
When like it probably doesn't feel like that for us anymore because obviously like we now know people that are in the hobby. But when I didn't know anyone in the hobby before, so all of a sudden I had people that were interested in what I was doing. Well, I mean what I was doing, but. It was really nice to share and teach. And I don't know. I just like, I look back and I go, those were my happiest like time with my tank, if you see what I mean. And you might think I'd have that from the farm, but I don't. I just don't. The farm is a business, it's not a hobby. So, and trust me, it's very different when you have to sell enough coral to pay your mortgage, if you see what I mean. It doesn't feel like it's not a laugh anymore. It's like a serious thing because if you don't sell enough coral, you don't pay your mortgage.
Yeah.
So that, whereas before, and the other thing was like that was also when like people were just starting to use YouTubers for influencers, and we would get some stuff was sent to us, and it was just. Like, and you also earn a little bit of money from YouTube, so it was like guilt-free spending. Yeah, you'd be like, I'm gonna go buy this like thing which I would never normally buy, but it doesn't matter because it felt like it was free money because it came from YouTube. Yeah, even though it wasn't free because you had to make the videos, loved making them, if you see what I mean at first.
I mean, in terms of YouTube, I've got there was a time when I've been going, I think I've been doing it for about 6 months or something. And then suddenly, it was when I made those videos that were like, 5 fish you'll regret and 7 fish you should buy instead or whatever.
Yeah.
And they went crazy. Like, the channel was doing okay, to be fair, for a very small channel, but nothing special. And then the 2 or 3 or 4 videos just went mental.
Yeah.
And that was so satisfying. Like, it wasn't just like twice as good as the last video. It was like 100 times better than any, and yeah. I've almost never hit those heights again.
Happens, yeah,
you get once or twice, but
you get a dopamine hit from doing it at first, but that and it has a diminished return. So it's like you put a video, it does well, you get dopamine. You put another video, it doesn't do as well as the last one, or it does the same as the last one. You don't get that dopamine anymore. Mm. So. And that's why over a period of time, you'll see lots and lots of YouTubers don't do it as much anymore, including to some extent myself. Although I obviously do like these every week with you. So I'm still doing my bit, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Like if I didn't do this, I feel like I would miss making videos.
Yeah. Like, okay.
Because, but I get to interact with you and the people in the comments and stuff like that. So.
I've been thinking about the videos because for the last year or so, my channel, and this is largely across the board, it's not just limited to me, but for the last year or so, my channel hasn't really done that well, certainly not compared to how it's done in the past.
Yeah.
I haven't had a video hit 100,000 views for a long time.
Yeah.
And to be fair, 100,000 views in our hobby is good going, so that's not likely to happen all the time, but there's been a long time, and I've been looking back at the videos I'm making, and I'm like, how many of those was I really excited about? And the one that I was that's changed that was Friday's video, which obviously you'll have seen, Ryan.
Oh, of course, I watched it twice.
What was it?
Reef door.
No, Ryan. Something today. It was top 5 reasons LPS corals die, and the reason.
Oh yeah, that one. Oh yeah, 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 that one. That was a good one.
But the reason I enjoyed making that, because I'd been thinking about it for a while.
I really enjoyed number two, actually.
What was number two?
That's just my favorite one. I just remember it was my favorite one.
But I've enjoyed making it because it was like, actually, this isn't just generic advice of like the top five fish, like, oh, number one is clownfish, number two is a yellow tang or whatever. So this was things that I think this is stuff that I've experienced, and not just like theoretical things that are backed up by science or whatever. This is all my experience, and this is what I've seen, and exactly what I've seen causing problems with that. I really enjoyed making that. And the feedback was really good as well. And there was one thing, and I actually took what I found as well is recently I've not noticed I've been doing it, but like if I need a 10 second clip of a coral or whatever, I'm just like, 10 seconds, go, get it done as soon as possible. Don't really put any thought into it, just as long as it shows what I want it to show. And this time around, I put a bit more thought into the video, the footage, and all the clips I was getting and all that sort of stuff. And I was a bit more pleased with it, a bit more proud of it almost. And that made me feel better than just churning out a video every fortnight for the sake.
It makes a massive difference if you're proud of what you made, like a huge difference. I have that as well.
Yeah. And it's not like the Reef Casa setup was, which was the last four videos I did. I enjoyed that, but it wasn't like, it was different. And I really enjoyed this. I'm going to try to do more sort of stuff like that. And I have had a few people say in the past, that kind of content, coral care video, is their favorite content. So I like the idea of doing more of that, but it's hard because the ideas like that, and that video got 10,000 views in the first 48 hours, which is way more than my videos have been doing recently. But that sort of video idea, I've got 100 ideas, but they're not all like that. So your happiest time was, how long ago was that? 5 years ago?
Might have been 7 years ago now.
7 years
ago. Yeah, might have been. Yeah. But yeah. And as I said, it wasn't, it was a lot of fun. It really was a lot of fun at first, like making the videos and stuff. So I look back fondly, if you see what I mean, at that time.
Because my one, the thing that's got me thinking about it was that my happiest time is not at the moment. this isn't peak happy, and that's not to say like I'm down or whatever. You know, I still like my tank, I still enjoy the hobby, all that sort of stuff. But it's not be with most things, it gets better and better and better and better and better. And with reef keeping, it's always interesting. There's always new challenges. You're learning things all the time, endlessly. Yeah. But I think my happiness has peaked, and I don't think I'm ever going to get back to that same level. That doesn't mean, if I didn't enjoy it, I'd stop it. So I don't think I'm going to get to that level. I don't mean to be too down on this, but I don't think I'm ever going to be back at the level of how much I loved it. Maybe with a new tank I will, but I think there's a naive innocence because the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And I don't know if it's like when I've been really happy in the past, it's because I'm too stupid to realize what's happening. Whereas now I know what's going to happen. And I'm going to get dinos and cyano. And
there were probably things that you didn't know, and something died, and you just went, oh, well, these just happen sometimes. And then whereas now you're like, what, you did that?
Exactly. But yeah, it was
interesting. It's interesting because both of us feel the same, that now is not our happiest time in what we do.
Yeah.
Interesting. But also now is not your happiest time at what you do of YouTube either. So I wonder if there is a correlation with that, where they sort of go together, because it is just as much as it's like a job for me, it's like a job for you. Having a YouTube channel is a job, basically. I wonder if that is why you feel less enjoyment from it.
Because I've been on the YouTube merry-go-round for six years or whatever it has been. That's the thing. Like, I still would enjoy it. And if I didn't, I'd stop. So no one's happy with reef keeping anymore. God.
No.
Okay.
Well, that's it for today.
I know. Yeah, bye, guys. Alex, are you expecting beginner problems? No, I definitely wouldn't say I'm expecting beginner problems, as in schoolboy errors. Oh, someone commented the other day saying, it was an American saying that he lives in Texas, and now he sees my videos. Now he walks around talking about schoolboy errors. apparently that's not a thing in America. Schoolboy, anyway. Well, no, I'm not expecting beginner problems in that I'm not expecting to do stupid things.
Yeah.
I don't think. But I'll have new tank issues for sure. Yeah. Because you can't control it. It's not like, it's not even like making a cake. So yeah, I'm expecting issues, but I'm going to try. And this is part of like one of the reasons I want to shut down. So I currently have 4 tanks. That's too much. I'm definitely going to have 3 at the most. Possibly I'll end up with 2.
I think, Joe, I genuinely believe this.
What's that?
1 tank is when you're happy. Yeah. You're happy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 1 tank. Like everyone thinks they want more than one. I spent hours today testing the water on 3 tanks. Yeah. Hours. Yeah. Because that's how long it takes. And it's just, it's no fun.
The only reason I really want the Cade, or the, no, not the only reason, the main reason is because it's a good backdrop for the YouTube videos. Because if it weren't for that, I'd shut that down as well. I've got no sentimental attachment to it. But I want to go down to 2 tanks. Yeah. And I think that'll be easier then. Because even if I don't do a water change on a weekend on one of these tanks up here, it stresses me out. It's like there's like someone sitting in my head going, you haven't done a water change. You haven't done a water change. You haven't done a water. You haven't, you need to clean the sand, Alex. And it's like, argh. So even if you're not doing work on it all the time, it's still like it stresses you out. But I want to go down to 2 tanks. Trouble is, I like the Reef Casser, so I don't really want to shut that down. But I think I probably should do. And that doesn't take any effort at all.
Have you even got the fish in it yet?
Yeah, yeah. There's.
Oh,
yeah,
I know that because I watched your video. So
there's a file fish and a yellow clown goby, and they're doing great. The tank's doing really well. No algae, no ugly stage. Everything's good. Although I bought a clove polyp on. I ordered it. Someone posted it to me, and it looked a bit ropey when it arrived because it had been shipped, and it's not really recovered.
Yeah.
So I might end up chucking that. But apart from that, I think that's just shipping stress. Apart from that, everything's really good. The tank's fine. I've got, when the lights are off and the room light is on, you can see a smattering of green algae on the rocks. Okay. So this might be a time to buy an urchin. I'm meant to do it this weekend, actually. So I might buy it. But apart from that, it's doing fine. I'm not touching it. I've not done water changes. I couldn't tell you what the parameters are. I don't care.
So you're enjoying the tank. The tank you're enjoying is the one you don't look after, basically. Exactly. Is what you're
saying. Yeah. And that's in my utility room. So I don't ever see it. Yeah. I see it a couple of times a day walking past. For 3 seconds.
The glass clean?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Why did your voice go so high when I asked that question? I promise.
Clean enough. Weirdly, I find with like my main tank, I have to clean the algae twice a week. Yeah. That tank is quite new, so and I don't feel that much, so maybe that's why it doesn't need to be cleaned that much. But the water box, I could go 3 weeks without cleaning it. And you'd have to look close to see the algae on the glass. Yeah. There's something weird about, I don't know what it is. There's something weird about that tank because the parameters are not, it's not like I don't have phosphate in there or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it is about that tank, but I can go weeks without cleaning it. And it's not like if you go weeks on my main tank without cleaning it, it's filthy.
Yeah, yeah.
With that, it looks fine. It's weird. There's something going on with that.
That it used to be like that. It's not like it anymore, but it used to be like that in the coral farm. The SPS tank you'd have to clean twice a week, and the LPS tank, if you didn't clean it for 2 weeks, it would still be fine.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that was actually like what I enjoyed about having the water box with no light, with only ambient light. There's no cleaning that needs to be done. Like the glass just doesn't get dirty at all.
Someone needs to invent a film that repels algae that you can put on your glass and doesn't block anything, because that would be amazing. But yeah.
I don't know if a film would work. You might be able to have some sort of special UV light that goes through or something that shoots down the side.
There was a video, there's a channel that you won't have heard of called Veritasium.
Oh, I love Veritasium.
Do you actually? Or are you
I actually do know what Veritasium is. I've seen some videos, but
he's brilliant. It's a science channel, but he's really entertaining. He's fantastic. He's really likable guy as well. He's got millions of subscribers. Loads of people in the chat would have seen, I'm sure. And he made a video recently about the blue LED and the invention of it and why it was so difficult and all this. And right at the end, he talked about UV LEDs and how they're slowly becoming more of a thing. They've been around for a little while, but they're slowly becoming more of a thing. And it was in terms of sterilization, because it was like, would this have stopped COVID if we had UV LEDs? And and it may it so and it's that will su- that at some point that will trickle into our hobby, and we'll have UV sterilization by LED. And I don't know if this would actually work, but there are all sorts of complexities with it. But you could have LED UV LEDs in your lights theoretically,
yeah,
that will do the
blind
same as
you when you look at them,
and give you skin cancer, but will do the same as a UV sterilizer. But yeah. That's yeah. It was just an interesting video. It wasn't anything to do with the hobby. It was just blue LEDs generally. But it was just it was interesting to learn the process and how a blue LED puts out white light and all this sort of stuff. But it's worth watching. Veritas.
Sounds very interesting.
Derek, that's the one. Derek is a weird name, especially for an American. That feels like an 80-year-old Englishman to me. But yeah. Yeah, there we go. The one hang on a second. Jay's real weird.
I think you just offended all the Derricks that listen. There's got to be at least one Derek that listens.
Sorry, Deza. I get the one tank thing. I couldn't cope with more than one sounds of stress. That's the thing. I think actually it's not. Oh, we did a whole live stream on that. I think it would be. I feel like the fewer tanks I have, the better. And maybe you're right. One is the key, the sweet spot.
Yeah, I wondered if I expanded the coral file, I would definitely not have one system. I would potentially have three systems, but I wouldn't have a tank in the house if I had that.
Yeah,
that would be too much. Just because then you could have one for specifically for like each of the main categories.
Yeah.
But I would have much longer tanks, I think, because if you have long tanks, why are you smiling?
Because you love long tanks.
if you have really, really long tanks, you like one fish. So if you have the same length, and I have seven copper bands in seven tanks.
Okay.
If I had two systems and the tanks were much longer, you only need one copper band in each tank, if you see what I mean. So that's my theory anyway. So okay. that's what I would do if I restarted the farm. I'd have I'd have a bigger building and much longer tanks.
Yeah. Yeah, not a bad idea. And this guy Derek is an Aussie, by the way. A few people have said he's an Aussie. And sound Australian. He must have lived in America for a while. And Derek sounds more like a Scottish name. Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I have nothing against the name Derek. No Derek's under 50. Imagine having a baby called Derek. This is my 2-month-old baby Derek.
Gary is another one.
Like Gary.
I remember on the radio once they were saying that the name is becoming like endangered because there's just no new Garys.
You can't have a Gary, can you? Bold Gary. Anyway, we've got to move on because we're running out of time. But we've got Prestige Reef Fish of the Week, and I know you have a Fish of the Week. I just don't know if you have a Coral of the Week.
Well, Coral of the Week, I'm going to combine with what we're going to show for the the two corals I showed you before.
Oh yeah, cool. Okay, yeah,
so we're just going to combine them just to make it easy. So Fish of the Week I'm going for this week is a cowfish. Because cowfish are bloody awesome. They're one of the most unusual fish. They're, as far as I'm concerned, they are about as close to almost as cool as a boxfish. I prefer boxfish over cowfish.
Me too.
The reason I picked it was because there was one at London Aquarium, and I was like, oh yeah, okay. I remember these. They're cool.
The only thing I don't like about cowfish is sometimes they get a bit brown and boring. So was the London Aquarium one?
It was one of the brown boring ones. Yeah, it was a big one. Yeah.
Is that because do they go that color when they get older?
I think it's the age. I think it's an age thing, but I'm not certain if I'm honest.
Like that. Oh, that's quite a cheese. Anyway, whatever. But yeah, they're cool.
They're similar. They have similar care requirements to boxfish. Sometimes they don't eat. They are prone to parasites. Both these and boxfish are prone to parasites. If you're going to buy one, look at their fins and. In the shop, they're very, very likely to be covered in little white dots, which is okay. It, obviously, a white spot.
Yeah.
Okay. So, oh, yes, there's a Derek in the chat.
Derek. Derek's Reef. I'm not offended. Thank you, Derek.
So I like the idea that Derek was like, he probably wasn't signed in. He's like, right, I need to sign in just so I can comment.
Yeah, yeah.
So cowfish, I had one before. One of my customers has got one, and they are awesome, but they do get massive. And they also will eat coral. And I think his one bit him the other day.
Oh, really?
They got like a little beak. Yeah, Jamie's one bit him.
Oh, nasty. They get like over a foot long, don't they?
Yeah, they get massive.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're not for everyone.
Big boys. Is it a myth that they, if it dies, it will nuke your tank? Are they venomous or poisonous or whatever?
So they do, I believe they have the ability to secrete a toxin if stressed, the same as boxfish do. However, I have had boxfish die in my tank, never found the body, never killed anything. So I believe that it is something which is, they have the ability to, but
theoretically, yes,
but I think that is unlikely to happen.
According to Wikipedia, if severely stressed, this species may be able to exude deadly toxin, pahu toxin or ichthyotoxin, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it is apparently unique among fish poisons. It is toxic to the boxfish. Oh, interesting. And mimics sea cucumber toxins. So yes, theoretically possible, but...
It kills... Let's put it this way. I have yet to have a single person... I put a video out on specifically on boxfish.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, this was... And that video has had like 40,000 views or something. So it's like a wide spectrum of people. I don't remember a single person going, it killed. It killed everything in my tank. But everyone goes, oh my God, if you get one of those, it's going to kill everything. So it could depend on how it dies. The thing that unfortunately killed my boxfish, I had a prototype from a company. I put it in the tank. The boxfish was still alive. It was literally stuck to the powerhead. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's about as stressful as you can get.
Yeah,
like being sucked to a powerhead. And still being alive, and it still didn't kill everything. It still didn't release anything, if you see what I mean.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you mean.
So, I don't know is the honest answer.
Max Rockstow, Rackstraw, says they rarely excrete toxin. I've never had it happen.
Yeah. So, I don't know anyone who's ever had it happen, but it's the first thing that everyone tells you about boxfish.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. All right, and coral of the week is corals of the week.
Yes,
you need to explain the story.
So, one sec.
I will fill lots of wine coughs. There we go.
I have a few customers. I think I've got three. It's actually relatively common in the reefing industry, community, to be partially colorblind. Or some people are colorblind to a different degree. You obviously have it yourself.
Apparently, I'm not colorblind. You can't keep saying that.
So that's the one thing I can say anything to you, but if I say you're colorblind, it triggers you for some reason.
But it's because people believe it.
I know that's what makes it good.
Quickly interject: colorblindness is more common than you might think. 1 in 12 men are colorblind. Yeah. 1 in 200 women are colorblind. How weird.
It's definitely more heavily related to men. And there's different types of colorblindness as well. So your one, for example, is not imaginary.
It doesn't exist.
So as I said, three of my customers I know are colorblind. I don't know if they have the same degree of colorblindness. But what I can say is I have tested this coral after the first person went, I can't tell the difference between these. And I pointed it out to the other two people and they agreed. Now... you're going to bring the corals up for people to see, I assume. These are two vastly different colored corals, and I was amazed when I found this out.
I'm also, just before I bring that up, I've just started a poll. Are you colorblind? And I'm going to test to see if reef keepers are more likely to be colorblind than non-reef keepers. And this is going to be, I apologize in advance, this is going to be torture for colorblind people, because apparently... Yeah.
You can't tell the difference between those two corals.
If you're colorblind, so Zach McTaggart, if you're colorblind, tell us if you can see the difference between those. It'd be interesting to see if there are different types and
what. Yeah. See how this came up. I said I was showing the coral to people, and I said, "Oh, how about this one?" And he went, "Well, isn't that the same as the last one you just showed me?" I'm like, "No, they are so different, okay. Like unbelievably different." As far as to me, you couldn't really get two more opposite colored corals.
I mean, one of they look, if you turn that to black and white photo, they'd look identical because they've got the same patterns and shapes and all that, but and spots. But excuse me. So one of those is blue and green, and the other is, I don't know, pinky red and yellow.
Oh, I mean, no one knows, because with your colours, it could be anything.
So they're quite different. Let's have a look then. Yeah. Okay. Zach McTaggart says the left is blue and green, and the right is red and yellow.
So Zach can see these.
You're an imposter colorblinder.
Yeah, you're not like Reef Dog.
No, shut up. But that does show that it's different. Oh my god, I know a colorblind electrician.
That would be terrible.
But just whilst we're here watching this, actually, 93% of reef keepers are not colorblind out of a poll of 45. I'll come back to that. Why is one of those 20 quid and one is 45? I'm not criticizing your pricing, but like,
it literally would have been what like I bought them for originally. So,
because I think the one that's more expensive is nicer, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is way nicer.
It's just like they are very similar corals. Nah, actually, that's probably fair enough.
No, firstly, like corals that have gold in them are usually more expensive.
That's not gold.
Secondly, it is gold when you see it properly.
Okay.
Although I do try to get good pictures. I know you like to moan at my pictures. And green corals are everywhere, so that's why there's such a big difference in costs. Let's put it this way: I sell a lot more of the right one than I do of the left one.
Yeah, I bet. And Zach McTaggart follow up says it's very specific. Like, I can't tell the difference between Superman Blastos and Blue Raven Blasto. Interesting. We have a colorblind teacher. Oh, please tell me it's an art teacher.
It says art teacher.
Oh, does it say? Oh, it does.
Apparently, you can't read either.
I know. Yeah, I can't read or see colors. That's hilarious.
Normally, the person who came to the farm that originally discovered this is in the chat, and he obviously isn't at the moment because he normally comments. Last week he said, "Don't make fun of my disability."
Disability. Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of his. Look, I know him well, so he's not offended. Let's put it that way.
8% of reef keepers are currently colorblind, according to the.
How many people have voted?
52.
50. It's interesting.
But I suspect you're more likely to vote if you are colorblind on this particular poll.
Oh, they're true. Yeah, true.
But so it's not very scientific. Mitch McClintock is not colorblind, but he's really biased against green corals. If I wanted green, I'm having a planted tank. It's very easy to get green corals.
True.
All corals are either green or red, basically.
Not facts. That one. That one's like, well, you won't know. I don't want to offend you, but
God's sake,
that one's like purple and gold.
Right. In that case, if you're going to be like that, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about these corals?
Not really. I just wanted to like segue into what we were talking about. I thought this would be a good way to do it, and I hadn't thought about a coral to pick.
Okay. Well, in which case, we're now going to move on to
the news.
The news. And I've stuffed it because I've done something wrong. I was working on something. I'm just going to do that again. So we are now going to move on to the news. And I put my suit on for the news because
that's terrible. That is such a terrible joke.
Professional news reader. So anyway, I got that on.
You're like, you have no shoulders.
I got this as an extra large because I wanted to make it easy to put on.
Yeah,
and there's a black t-shirt underneath it, so it just looks really weird. But okay, I make an effort for you guys. Got my shirt in mind. So, anyway, news, serious news reading, please. Ryan. I'm just going to end that poll. 6%.
You look more like a sports reader for some reason.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. 6% of reef keepers are colorblind. All right, so news. First piece of news. Are you familiar with the expression? It's a feature, not a bug.
No.
It's what like software people say.
I can guess what it is. Yeah.
Something doesn't work properly, and they're like, oh, it's not that it doesn't work properly. It's a feature.
It's meant to, deliberate. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I found the fish equivalent of that, which is the Palmer Labs stubby conspic.
Yeah,
and you had a theory about this. So this is I'll first off explain what this is. So this was old news because this is from 2 weeks ago, pre-holiday. But this was Palmer Labs have bred this pair of what they're calling short-bodied spectacled angelfish, conspic pair, basically conspiculatus. And they're described as short-bodied because they're these kind of stuffy little funny things. And they look like they've got a disease. But you had a theory about this. Do you remember what you texted me?
Did I say we screwed up? Let's just put stubby on it, and then someone will buy it, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, this is like when you get Yeah, this is just, oh, hang on. The pair is being offered for $2,800.
Oh, cheap.
Actually, to be fair, quite cheap for Contamic. But they, and look, taste is subjective. So there'll be people out there who can't get enough of that. But that, to me, they look awful. They look weird. They look unhealthy. That looks like a pug, like the pug equivalent of in a fish.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they look like as they're obviously small at the moment. They're probably like, I reckon they're like this big. They look like tight. They look tiny. So will they elongate as they get bigger? I don't know. But it's one of those things where it's good that companies are breeding fish and they need to maximize the amount of money they can make. Mm-hmm. But that's the sort of fish that in a proper breeding facility of like freshwater fish where there's loads of them, so they don't keep all of them, it would probably have been culled, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder if they feed fish like that to the other fish in tropical farms, or if they just flush them.
Don't know.
Anyway. But yeah, so if you've got $3,000 and no taste, you can buy a stubby angelfish.
So harsh. So harsh. Those two fish are going to be unloved forever now.
next one. This is a weird article. And the headline is that researchers have found 348,000 square kilometers, an extra 350,000 more square feet of coral reefs, shallow coral reefs, less than 30 meters, using satellite technology. And the first line of the article says, researchers at the University of Queensland, where Derek lives, have announced that they have identified an extra 348,000 square kilometers of shallow coral reefs in the oceans. How can you have we have not noticed over 250,000 square kilometers, which is about 348,000 is probably about 250,000 square miles. I don't know, roughly. Yeah. 62%. How can we not have noticed that? How can that be new? I don't know if I've misread that because it does say an extra 348,000. It's like
someone was obviously dosing calc.
Yeah, exactly.
It's grown since then.
Has been putting calc in the ocean. But so I did wonder if that's just because they've used this technology to map it. So I wondered if they'd mapped it and they'd found that. But it sounds like it was almost, they don't say it was newly discovered, but it's almost saying newly discovered coral reefs. And I thought that was weird. It might just be that I'm misreading it and that they're just saying that they've mapped this out. But I don't know, it's weird. But anyway, I suppose that's good because more coral reefs. So that means that we can go and
get James, just answer your question. Ocean is big, people are small.
The ocean is big. Facts. All right, so that's the first fact of the live stream.
They probably have a new satellite or something when they took a picture and they went, oh, look. And then they used AI to work out where the reefs are. And then it went, oh, look, there you go. These are some new stuff for you.
It was a satellite. So that probably is it, to be fair. But that just seems, I know that ocean is big, right? That's not news to me. That was just surprising. But anyway, that's cool. More coral reefs. That means more corals for us in the hobby, right?
Well, actually, if you think about it, potentially you could get entirely new corals in those places.
Yeah.
Like, why not? It's the same as like an uncharted jungle. In theory, you could find new frogs and stuff like that in those places. So why couldn't you find new corals in these?
Think of all the new boring gobies that I'll have in there.
Yeah, that's true. That is usually what happens.
1-inch brown gobies. Can't wait. Yeah. But there you go. So more coral reefs. Next piece of news is, Have you heard of Marco Rock?
Yes.
This stuff. Yes. This is purple Marco Rock. So yes. This is coming to the UK. DD are bringing it over. So this I've seen. I'm sure they talk about this in America quite a lot. I think they've got it over there, and it's really popular. It's coming to the UK. I'm surprised because shipping must be really expensive, and they did have pricing. It said so the price Reef Saver starts at £170 for the 18 kilo box, £10 a kilo. That's not bad, actually. And then Foundation and Hybrid are £229 for 18 kilos, and the premium shelf is £300 for 18 kilos. Okay, so the premium stuff is expensive.
Yeah,
really expensive, actually. Maybe it's really nice, I don't know. But £170 for 18 kilos, that's actually not bad. I don't know how much. It's been a while since I've bought Real Reef Rock, which is what I've used on my last tank. But I couldn't tell you how much it costs. But
yeah,
But yeah, there you go. So another rock option. There's so many more options these days than there were like 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, but they're all more expensive. As in, as in everything's more expensive.
Everything is more expensive, yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I hate the price of stuff at the moment, but anyway.
The hobby is actually, I believe this is true, is expected to grow. Like, well, I suppose there's probably lots of things that grow. I believe it is expected to grow worldwide. I don't know about the UK community of reef keepers, but it's expected to. I think, obviously, the easier it becomes, think about it this way. If you have a choice and it becomes just as easy as, it's not going to, but just as easy as fresh water, you're always going to choose a clownfish over a guppy. Everyone is going to choose a clownfish over a guppy. Yeah. So the easier it becomes, the more information, the more products, the more accessible it is for people. The only thing, obviously, there is a cost attached to this.
Yeah.
But that's why it's expanding. Because I think fish keeping is the third largest pet in the UK.
Yeah.
That obviously includes ponds and freshwater and everything. But again, if you're going to have fish, most people would choose a clownfish over anything else, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm.
Or a saltwater fish, if you see what I mean.
If it was as easy.
Yeah, if it was equally as easy, yes. And I think the myth of it being impossible is slowly fading.
Yeah. I think that the one thing is that it'll never be as popular as freshwater, partly because you could argue, some people would argue that it's not really much more difficult if you want it to be easy. But the one thing that that you will find with is that a freshwater tank can take a lot more neglect than a saltwater tank. And what I mean, and there are most people who, or not most people to be fair, but lots of people who buy a fish tank, whether it's excuse me, fresh or saltwater, aren't really interested in it. They're just like, oh, that looks cool, that would look good in my kitchen. And they set up a tank, and like I've seen so many times, freshwater tanks that they've got a goldfish in or whatever fish in there, and half of the water is evaporated away.
Yeah,
they can't be bothered to top it up, and they probably put food in every now and then. That's literally all they do.
Yeah.
If you do that with a freshwater tank, that fish is not going to be as happy as it would be if you were looking after it properly.
Yeah,
but it's not as likely to die. If you do that with a saltwater tank, it's dead in a week.
Yeah, true.
So. The casual fish keeper that's not really interested in it as a hobby, they just want something because it's like a fish would be cool, will always gravitate towards freshwater, I would say.
Because I think people in the comments as well think that I'm saying that freshwater will be less popular than saltwater. Now, what I'm trying to say is that it's growing. If you see what I mean, as it becomes more accessible, to be more easier to do, it's the industry is growing.
And Coraline, this Marco rock is apparently mined Florida bedrock, given it's an old seabed.
Yeah.
And I think I saw a video, I can't remember which channel it was, maybe Worldwide Corals, not that long ago, where they had these massive slabs. I think it was Marco rock. These massive slabs of rock that they dig out and then like chisel away into nice shapes and stuff. So I think that might have been it. But there we go. And the final piece of news is Reefstock Denver is coming. When is it? 2nd and 3rd of March. Denver. Are you going to Denver, Ryan?
I will not be going to Denver.
Colorado, isn't it? It's a beautiful state, I think, from the sounds of it, from the looks of it. Is that one of the places that you would go, do you know what, I'm going? Maybe.
No.
Or is that like, not really? No.
No. Usually if I go to to one of the shows, it's usually like one of the biggest shows, which would either be Macna, Reefapalooza, or Aquashell. I've not been to, but I would go to. And it has to be in a location I want. So I'd never want to go to, like, I don't know. There's a Reefapalooza in California, I think, and I've just never been interested when the other options are New York, Florida. If you see what I mean, I'd rather go there.
I'd rather go to California. I really want to go to Yosemite. I don't know enough about California to
pique my interest. If you see what I mean, and the reason that obviously Macra in Vegas was like, it was just unreal. It was unreal, and I think that I really, really think they need to bring that back. They need to bring it back there because it will get people there. If Macra was in Vegas again, would you go?
I don't have an overwhelming urge to go to Vegas, to be honest.
Yes, but I'll be there. And you have an overwhelming urge to spend time with me.
Obviously, yeah. It was
so much fun because it's like a part. Everyone was in this mood, even if they. So I didn't do any gambling, but everyone was in this like party mood because you're in Vegas.
Yeah. Okay.
So all the other YouTubers were there, and it was the best show I ever went to.
I would love to go. I'd love to go to a show where there are a load of YouTubers. It'd be cool to meet up with everybody.
Yeah,
I've chatted to a few people, obviously, on the stream and like messages and that sort of stuff. But I'd love to meet everyone properly. That'd be cool.
That was one of the best days of my life. It sounds so sad. It was funny because someone said to me, they tapped on my shoulder and they went, "Inappropriate Reef is looking for you," and I'm like, "He knows who I am." So the funny thing was, I was also looking for him. So we were rotating around this show looking for each other.
Okay.
But yeah, it was genuinely really nice to meet I met Reef Dudes and obviously Aaron's Aquarium at the time and loads of people. I can't even remember some of the names of them, but yeah, it was good.
I've seen the photo and I can't remember it, but yeah, I remember seeing the photo. I'd love that. I mean, it'd be
really cool. Mile High Reefer.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's can't remember his name, but yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I met him.
Scott. Is his name Scott?
Yeah, I think it's Scott. Yeah. Yeah, Scott Anderson.
Yes, that sounds good.
That's how he starts each of the videos, isn't it? Where he says, "I'm Scott Anderson."
I don't subscribe to him. I don't think he's made a video for a while.
I think he stopped making them for a while. He made one a few months ago, I think.
Oh, did he? Yeah, Scott Anderson. Oh no, a month ago. He's back.
Yeah.
Maybe he was never away. I'll check that out later. But yeah, there we go. Okay, so if it's at Vegas, I'll go. I'll have to get approval from Mrs. RD, but
I need to interrupt quickly. I can't think. I have to ask you something because you put, it's annoying the UK doesn't have many huge coral fish events. So what am I about to ask? Do you know what I'm about to ask, Alex?
I do.
Did you book tickets to Aqua? That's what I want to know. Everybody's silent now.
yeah. You booked your tickets.
Yeah. I booked mine, and you obviously. So the reason I'm saying this is, if you want to have huge events, you have to support the people that are trying to put them on. Mm-hmm. Now, you might have already booked the tickets, so then if you did, great. But if you feel the same way as I can't think, then that's what you need to do. Go support the one that is on.
Yeah,
you're meant to say yes.
Yes, Ryan, I agree.
I'm waiting for I Can't Think to come back, but there's nothing.
But yeah, I've not seen much on Aqua actually. I've not been looking, but
it's all coming out. Here we go. How could you forget? You're here every week, and we spoke about it consecutively week after week for ages.
So what I want next week from you people at home is I want Rich's Reef. I want your child to have identified a coral, please. Thank you very much. And I want I Can't Think to have bought his ticket. Okay, that's your homework.
It's in September now. Plenty of time.
Yeah. It seems to keep moving around. No, September. Not moving. Cool. John Wright has got his ticket. Spoke to the organizer yesterday. Ooh, what did there he tell you? Go. We're going to wrap up now, so we're not going to have time to hear. But anyway. All right. That was the news. Didn't think I'm going to take that off properly.
That is a one-time gag, I think. I don't
12
think
we quid that thing. Gag cost me.
Yeah, well worth it. Money well spent.
Just put that in the bin. Lovely stuff. I was going to get you one as well.
I'm glad you didn't. Because I wouldn't be as... I'd be like you. I couldn't put it on in the 10-second jingle.
Yeah, no, I actually practiced that.
You're so sad sometimes.
I know. All right, well, in which case, thank you all for joining, guys. It's been a pleasure. Good to be back again. We will be back again next week with some more nonsense, probably on more upgrade talk. Ryan, anything else you'd like to say? Any deals? What was your discount code going out tonight? 100% off.
I'll do 20% off tonight.
Oh, really?
There you go. Just because you asked. It will be, so I've got need to do it now quickly. It will be discount in capitals 20. There you go. So
who's working for you, babe?
Yeah, see? Okay.
Discount 20. There you go. I've put the code in the chat.
There you go. So cool. Go shopping, and you won't get a code anytime soon. I wasn't planning to do one, but Alex obviously asked, so I'm like, yeah, go on then.
Happy days. All right. Cheers, guys. Catch you next week.
Okay. Thanks. See you later. Bye.